I certainly hope it's clear that you know that God loves you, because he does, on this Tuesday, May 1st. Happy May, everyone. May 1st, 2012. You're tuned in to Mark and Friends, which is heard at 7:32 a.m. with a 7:32 p.m. re-airing. This program is also archived at greatnewsradio.org. And I know some of you are going to refer this program to friends that maybe are considering adoption or have an adoption story, and they can kind of glean some of the things that are shared and said today, because I have an adorable family, a portion of the family in front of me. In fact, if you go to greatnewsradio.org and you go to our homepage, you're going to see a photograph of four of the Brooks family members, and two of their sweet daughters are in the studio with me, and they have kind of one of these heartwarming, transformational adoption stories, a kind of a miracle adventure journey. I've read some of the blogs on how God has led this whole situation through tough circumstances, through points when you thought it was not going to work out, or it was over, or we financially can't afford this. And then surprise, surprise, little Olivia has a sister. Well, Lord, would you have us adopt both of them? We don't want to break these two sisters apart. And so I'm going to have you, Betsy, jump right in with a couple verses that are significant and special to you, and you've seen God answer them or use them in your life. And then I'm going to have all four of you share a little of the adoption story. You have six children. You live in the Muhammad area. Some of our listeners are familiar with Kevin, because recently we had him on the air as he talked about the book Glider Infantryman. And Kevin, I will say, I think three or four singing men purchased the book, and they all said it was a great read. I mean, they weren't just throwing flowers my way because I didn't write the book. They said it was well written, it was real clear, it was interesting, and they really enjoyed it. So kudos to you. So if you were tuned in a few weeks ago, you heard a little about Kevin's story and his writing of the book Glider Infantryman, and he was part of the meet and greet. But he's brought Betsy, his beautiful, lovely wife of 28 years, and two of his daughters that are from Ukraine, that have been in the greater Muhammad area, adopted into your family, I guess, 4 or 5 years?
Almost 5 years ago.
Five years ago. So why don't we start with everyone saying good morning or hi.
Hi, I'm Valerie.
Hello, I'm Betsy.
Hi, I'm Olivia.
And this is Kevin.
Okay, so we have a full studio, and I had to bring down a couple more chairs, so we're all together. And I think if you can stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes, you're going to learn some of the highs and lows of adoption. But we serve a faithful God that orchestrated not only some of the details and situations and circumstances, but worked in very unique ways to bring these lovely daughters into your family. And gosh, I would adopt them in a heartbeat. This is going to be one of those stories that really worked out well. Not all adoptions go that way, and maybe we'll talk a little about that, but this has really been navigated through the hand of God.
Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. I took you from the ends of the earth. From its furthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And this is Psalm 27:10. Though my father and mother forsook me, the Lord will receive me.
And you've clung to those verses over the years and have found refuge in them and in the power and truth of what's conveyed through those. But share why they've been so special to you.
Actually, Isaiah 41, 9 through 10 has really become a very special verse to me over the last 5 to 6 months. My daughters went through a lot of pain. The circumstances that they lived in, no child would want to live in. They went through days where no parent was in the home, and a 6- and 7-year-old was taking care of a 1-year-old. Having to feed, having to find food, and no mother at night, no father at night very often. Just a lot of neglect.
I think at some point even, I've read some of the blogs, begging on the streets for money.
Yeah, they would go door to door asking for food. Valerie, when we first adopted her, when she first learned how to speak English, the first things that really she liked to talk about were some of the traumas that she endured. But these were a pain because these were her parents. These were people that she did love. These were people that she wanted them to take care of her. And her heart was... her heart was broken. It was very tender and very hurt because she did not have what every child wants, and that is they want the love of their parents. She might have that once in a while, might have a little taste of it, but most of the time, most of her life in Ukraine, she did not have a mother in the home and the love of a parent. And I know this just kind of crosses over a lot. The scripture really hits me because there are a lot of spouses that are rejected by their spouse, a lot of children that are rejected by their friends. So this verse not only encompasses how painful it is when we go through rejection in our life, but it tells us that our God doesn't ever do that to us, that He has chosen us, that He has not rejected us, that in Him we do not have to fear, because it says, I am with you, that He is our God. And He tells us that in Him we can find our strength and that He will help us. And it's with His righteous right hand that He's going to give us His strength. And the righteous right hand to me is Jesus. And Jesus is going to be with us. And He's not going to forsake us.
Mm-hmm. What an incredible concept. Almighty sovereign God who could do all things has personally involved Himself in our lives and has chosen us. And I wrote that, I have chosen you. And what an incredible blessing for Olivia and for Valerie to know that you two, out of all the children in the whole world you could have adopted, you have chosen them. And I know, Kevin, this was a labor of love, if you will. Not easy initially. It's become a labor of love because now you have two beautiful daughters, but you had to work hard. Trips to Ukraine, resources, time, energy, effort, paperwork, all that took place for this to even come together. Tell us a little of your side of the story.
Yeah, there was a lot of work involved in putting the adoption together. It actually began back in 2005 on one of the business trips I had to Ukraine, and our oldest daughter, Jessica, had been reading about orphanages in Ukraine. And she had, with my help and mom's help, gone around and collected clothes at garage sales to take over to an orphanage in Ukraine. And so I took a full suitcase load with me and lugged it around Ukraine for a couple of weeks. And finally, I told my driver, I said, look, I've got to get these clothes somewhere before I leave, or I'm going to go back home. There's going to be a teenage girl that's going to be really upset with me. And so on the last days of my business trip, we finally got into an orphanage in Kremenchuk, Ukraine. And the children, which were from ages about fifth grade on up, were getting ready for a Children's Day, a national it's actually an international day celebration of children, and putting on a musical. And during that, I was videotaping it, and this little girl, about 2, maybe 3 years old, kept coming up and sticking her face in front of the camera and stuff. So we kind of hit it off right away, and I thought she's a fun little kid. Couldn't really talk to her, but it was like really stuck in my mind. The other thing that stuck in my mind was that at that point, this little girl was in obvious need of some medical care. I kind of filed it away in my mind and left the orphanage. And on my way back home, on the Lufthansa airplane, there was a family from South Dakota who had a little Ukrainian girl with them. And I asked him, did you adopt this girl? And no, she needs some medical care, and we got permission to take her back to the United States, and she's going to get medical treatment. And I thought, hey, you know, that might be an idea. So I actually worked on it and had things lined up in the United States to get Olivia some medical care. I was actually told that she had cancer and may, in fact, actually be dying at that point. And I went through the process of trying then to get her out of the country, and I couldn't really get any cooperation out of the Ukrainian authorities. And so after a period of time, just after thinking about it and praying about it with Betsy, we decided to proceed in looking into adoption of this little girl. And what should have been maybe 9 months to a year-long process ended up taking about 2.5 years. After we had all the paperwork done, there's an immense amount of paperwork involved, and each country has their own unique items. I had to find, our medical doctor actually had to give us a copy of his license, and not only did we need the copy of his license, it had to be notarized, and that was quite an ordeal because they have to be there when it's signed. And so there's quite a process in getting this done. Got everything turned in. Once we had the home study done, we actually, during that process, found out that Olivia had an older sister. And we had to go through the process of getting our house measured. We were told that our house wasn't quite big enough and ran through some problems there. And then we get notified that the adoption, international adoption process in Ukraine had been suspended, maybe permanently. We didn't know for sure. That went on for a number of months. Eventually, it did open back up, and I had to do all the paperwork a second time because it expired during that time, and had made another trip back to Ukraine. We actually lost track of them, because they were moved from Kremenchuk to Poltava, and I had no idea where she was, and I had some friends from Ukraine track her down. And a resident from Mahomet, Todd Gleason, was with me on one of the business trips along with a number of other people that I worked with as I was taking them on a business trip there. And Todd and I had to survey and travel across Poltava to try to find this girl in this orphanage. We finally found her in a hospital where she had been admitted for some medical issues and such, and had found her there. So it was a long process. We finally get to the point to where the adoption looks like it's going to be taking place. Made another trip back to Ukraine, taking another tour group back, and there were government demonstrations going on there. The embassy told us to stay out of downtown Kyiv, the capital, which you probably know as Kiev in Russian, but in Ukrainian it'd be Kyiv. And shortly after that, when we left, things deteriorated within the government. For a while, it looked like the federal troops and the National Guard, under the direction of the President and Prime Minister, respectively, actually might face off, and there could be a civil war. This is all within weeks of our scheduled adoption trip to Ukraine.
And what year is this?
This is in now 2007, so several years afterwards and stuff. So right up to the last minute, we didn't really know that we were going to even be going. Things cleared up. We get to Kyiv, the capital, go to the National Adoption Center. Everything looked in order, and they told us, congratulations, this is great, and everything's in order. You know, you get to go to the region now and begin the process of getting things accomplished there and pick up your daughters. And we get on the train and travel to Poltava. It's about a four-hour, five-hour train ride, which was an interesting process in and of itself. We get there, and I'm not even sure our feet hit the ground when the legal representative who was representing us as we were stepping off the train, he goes, I've got bad news. We've run into some problems with the paperwork, and it looks like that the girls might actually never be adoptable by Ukrainian law. And it was just like, wow, now what do we do?
Betsy, you're probably praying your head off all along.
Well, we had been told prior to ever going to Ukraine that our girls had been abandoned in a train station and had lived on the streets for 13 days, and they were picked up in a train station, which later on we found out was not true. But this is where we went through the adoption thinking that this was who we were adopting, these little girls that had just been completely abandoned. And later on we found out the truth.
But basically we ran into some legal issues with the adoption. Parental rights had not been properly terminated. They were rightfully terminated, but not properly terminated. And each country has its own unique laws, and it made it very difficult to get that done. The real issue was is that it was likely that they were going to be in this orphanage for the rest of their lives, stuck in limbo, because the birth parents were never going to get them back because of things that had gone on. It's a little bit about their resilience. One of the things we did find out that was true was at times in the wintertime, they were in a house without heat. And Valerie, and taking care of Olivia, actually, on a sunny day in the wintertime, would take a blanket and wrap her little sister up in the blanket on the pavement. That actually created heat to help her keep warm. So very resilient kids. But anyway, we...
I was giving her a little cheer.
Okay. For the next couple of weeks, we're in Poltava trying to get things worked out legally, running here and there, trying to figure out what can be done to get this accomplished. It really didn't need both of us there, and Betsy actually was able to team up with a medical team from Arizona that was there, going to villages and working with people on medical issues, eyeglasses.
When everything fell apart, my husband had a lot of time invested in the adoption process, and he already had formed some attachment bonds to the girls. When everything went south, literally, it kind of broke me, and I just had to step back, and God provided this medical team. We met him in a park. One of the EMTs that was supposed to come with them didn't get to come, so I think they had a team of like 13. They had one space open for me, and as a registered nurse, I was able to go then and help out with this medical team, which was perfect. I just kind of emotionally had to get out of the way and just kind of step out of the picture and let my husband take over. It just was hard on me. In fact, that first night when we were in Ukraine, it was so hard on me that I had a dream. dream that this guy was just trying to basically take my arm because they said we had to give them $5,000 to even consider looking into the adoption any further. And I thought, well, we're not rich. We don't have all this money, you know. And I literally, and I'm hard to say this, I was ready to get on the airplane and fly back. I thought I was at my wit's end. So God really provided this blessing of this medical team. In fact, in the night, I mean, I had this dream where they were pulling on my arm and I was trying to get my arm back and my husband and I were in this little twin bed and I threw my arm out and he landed on the floor in the middle of the night because it was kind of traumatic on me where my husband had a lot more determination than I did because he had been so invested in the process of the adoption.
And what might be hard for people to understand, you know, in America, we have laws and we have advocates and there's procedures. In Ukraine and many parts of the world, there needs to be bribes and monies given, and it's just not an easy process. I mean, there's all these people that expect payment or bribes or kickbacks.
See,
or whatever.
And my husband was more familiar with it. He had done all these U.S. aid projects over there working with the people in Ukraine, so he was more used to how they worked. This was my first trip into Ukraine, and it pretty much, I went into culture shock. Mm-hmm. And I just had to step out and let my husband be the man.
Well, we're kind of fortunate because this is a story with a great ending. Here you have these lovely daughters that are kind of acclimated, and we're going to have them share a little.
Okay, but after several days of this and also getting to know the girls better, finally we ran into a dead end, and it looked like the process wasn't going to go any further, and we had to say goodbye to Olivia and Valerie. One last hope that we did have because of Olivia's medical need, we actually got an American doctor to sign off on her condition that she needed to get medical treatment as quick as possible. So we left Ukraine, said our goodbyes, not knowing whether or not we would be back or ever actually see them again. Olivia, that I don't know if you remember or not, but when we left, you were one really sad little girl.
Yes, I do remember.
Good answer. And you're really well adjusted here. And you were at our meet and greet a week ago, so that was a lot of fun.
Yes, I was. And it was a lot of fun, too.
Some of our listeners might know you better by the nickname, the endearing nickname, because your parents so love you, as Stinkerbox. Mm-hmm. I heard you turned a little red when I shared that over the air last week.
Yes, I did.
And before we left, we were going to say goodbye to Valerie, but she had gone to this camp, and so we drove an hour or so to get to the camp where she was at. And you remember, these kids, they've lost everything in life. Parents, their home, their town, their friends, everything taken away from them. And when we showed up at the orphanage, we're waiting for her to come outside, and one of the friends had overheard what was going on, that we were there waiting, and she said, Valia, which was her Ukrainian name, Valia, your parents are here. And she was thinking, oh, my birth mom and dad. And when she came running out, she was rather excited about that. And here we were standing, which, you know, she was appreciative of the fact that we were there and stuff. This is very traumatic for a child. Val hadn't seen her birth parents in 2.5 years, so it had been a long time. Even though they lived relatively close, had made no efforts to see them. Of course, we find out later that her biological father had developed leukemia and had since passed away. So, Valerie, you remember that day?
Yeah, I do some.
And I guess you probably had a huge adjustment coming to the United States, you know, really not having your friends. You knew a little English, but from your perspective, you're entering into this family. Now you have, yes, your younger sister joining you, but you have now 4 other brothers and sisters and a new mom and dad. And you've since come to know Christ, because I know Betsy and your dad, Kevin, have been sharing the love of Jesus. But at the time growing up, were you maybe angry at God or like, God, why are you allowing all this sadness in my life? I'm a pretty good person. Tell us a little of your story.
Well, along with angry with God and stuff, I remember, like, and I'm pretty sure I'll always remember this, when I used to go to bed, I used to, like, get angry with God because I had no parents and stuff. So, kind of get really sad because I, like, had no idea. Like, I thought I was always, like, going to stay in an orphanage and never get adopted. So it kind of made me really sad and stuff. And like I said, I did used to, like, pray. I have no idea, but I used to, like, look up in the wall and just, like, kind of talk, like, to myself maybe. Because I thought, yeah, I mean,
you don't really have a concept of a God that loves you maybe at this time?
Yeah, I had no idea. And then I was asking for help and stuff. And then finally I had parents and stuff. So That's really funny.
And I know your mom, and suddenly you're in this family, and they talk a lot about Jesus and God's love. And I know that's been a journey, as you and I have talked a little on the phone, where you got to see more and more Jesus and God answering your prayers and providing for you and giving you stability. And now your prayers are much more intimate or close because you know he's looking after you and caring for you and has provided. Even though, yes, you've gone through some really hardships and sadness and loss, as all of us do, but you're seeing that God is a good God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's in your smile, too, which is lovely. And I know it's great knowing some of the things your parents did on your behalf and knowing that, like with our theme today, that God has chosen us, but these two have chosen you two, which is something that you can always know out of all the children in the whole world. They had the choice of really any children in the whole world, and they chose you two. And that's a unique thing that God has chosen us too. He wants to extend that same love and care and compassion and do that redemptive work to help us know that he cares for us, that he wants to be a part of our lives. So I have chosen and asked Olivia and Valerie to record a little radio spot. So I'll put on a little background music, and Olivia, you'll go first, then you, Valerie, and we'll hold the applause till the end. Now, we had you working on these early on, so introduce yourself and share your radio spot in verses.
Hi, this is Olivia Brooks from Muhammad. You're listening to Great News Radio. Great News Radio loves kids just like Jesus. Here is Luke 18:16. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
Hi, my name is Valerie Brooks, and I am from Muhammad, Illinois. Thank you, God, for Great News Radio. My favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11-13. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will answer to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart."
Bravo, bravo. Great job. You guys are the best. Thank you for answering the call to be chosen by God and to receive his free gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to become a member of God's family. Well, thank you, God, for the unique ways he answers prayers and works through a variety of circumstances to orchestrate something for his ends, and that was to have you two be adopted into a loving family. So thanks for being in the studio this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.